Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We are 4:45 a.m. the crack of dawn.
It's not even. It was before dawn.
It was before dawn. We're sleeping like little angels, and we hear dang, dang, bang, 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 like somebody running down the hallway. I think it's an intruder. Spoiler alert: it's our son. He like opens the door to our bedroom, then creeps up very quietly to
Ariel. No. This time he did not. He normally creeps up
just
quietly.
Came in like a whirlwind.
This time he came in like a whirlwind.
Torpedo, wake up.
He was wailing. We couldn't figure out why.
Yeah.
We couldn't figure out why. He was just like,
and he kept saying, "Watch, oh no, baby. Watch, oh no, baby." Which is his word for looking at photos in our camera roll.
Uh-huh. Mostly photos of him.
Right. Because one time we showed him a photo of him sitting up on the couch and then a second photo of him falling over. Hilarious.
So funny.
Where we all said, "Oh no, baby.
Baby fell over."
He loved it so much. Now, why at 4:45 a.m. does he want to watch Oh No Baby? I mean, I get it. Like, I like looking at photos of myself too, but not at 4 a.m.
No, I do not understand. I think I asked him at that point if something had scared him, and he goes, "Uh-huh." And I was like, "Well, what was it?" And then he just goes right back to watch Oh No Baby, watch Oh No Baby.
I mean, phones are like adult pacifiers, so it makes sense that for a 2.5-year-old, that's what you want to calm yourself down in the middle of the night.
He just wanted to be pacified.
You were trying to resist him, like in your half asleep state of like, "No, we're not gonna do that right now." No, it's time to go back to bed.
I immediately just like hoisted him up into our bed,
yeah,
and just plopped him right between us. And then he goes, "Snuggle 5 minutes, then watch Oh No Baby."
And that lasted like 30 seconds.
I know.
It was a clear, like, I have to do this before I get to do this.
How did even Oh No Baby start? Like, when did we even first do that?
It was my mom.
Wait, what?
Yes, it was my mom.
It was your mom.
My mom was looking at pictures on her phone, and Wes wanted to
look. No.
When he was like maybe 10 months old or something like that.
Oh, your mom.
They were looking at pictures on my mom's phone because she was the one who took the Oh No Baby pictures.
Uh-huh.
And it's a series of like 10 pictures where we propped Wes up.
Broke the phone rule.
I know.
Cracking the dam turns into a tsunami.
We propped Wes up on the couch in his cute little outfit. He was probably 2 months old or something like that.
And let me tell you, it was a cute little outfit.
It was a newborn outfit, so it was only going to last another week or so.
So you got to get the photos in.
And so we propped him up, but he couldn't hold himself up. And so we're taking pictures of him as he's falling over.
Live photo.
Onto the couch, exactly. And so we have this series of 10 photos where he just goes, dunk, 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 boom.
Pretty great.
It's pretty great.
Quality entertainment.
I mean, it was a really hilarious photo series. And he thought it was hilarious, too. You know, we were like showing it to him. We were like, "Look at how silly this is. Look, you fell over. And then you were laying down like a little baby." And he was like, "Little baby, oh no, baby fell over." And so he always wanted to see that whenever somebody had their phone out. It wasn't a phone to talk on the phone or to look at the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone was to look at Oh No Baby pictures.
Like the grandparents bend the rules just once and then it becomes a norm.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Oh. My parents are always bending the rules.
I just thought it would be, no, it's not okay.
Then it turns into this. Mm. What was the other thing that my dad did? Ping? Do you remember, man, ping?
Thought it was going to like give him a tick or something.
It was, okay, it was the funniest thing.
Operant conditioning at its finest.
It was the funniest thing when Wes was like probably 6 months old.
Your dad would say, ping, and then he would like pick at his shirt.
He would like grab his shirt and he would go, ping, ping, and it would make Wes giggle so hard. He loved it. He loved it. But then every time Wes wanted to get somebody to laugh, he would pull at his shirt and he would go, ping, ping, ping.
Well, what really set me off was one time watching him do it against his bare skin.
Yes.
I was like, okay, this is not something we should be doing.
I know.
I don't feel comfortable with this anymore.
I mean, it was hilarious until it wasn't.
Yeah.
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 I feel like that's sort of a theme of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny until, 4:45 a.m., Wes wants to look at Oh No Baby. Yep. And he won't take no for an answer.
Well, welcome to another episode of Baby Steps. How are you feeling, Ariel? We're getting down to it. We're getting down to the wire. I mean, this baby could come at any moment.
It could come at any moment. I went to the doctor yesterday, got all my shots. I got my flu shot, got all my, you know.
Tdap.
Tdap. And, and I have to get Rogam. I don't know if anybody out there knows what that is, but basically.
I sure don't.
You don't? I had to get it last time, too, because I am the
is
blood
your hair
type.
Falling out?
No, it's not. It's not that. No, that's funny. Good one. No, it's okay. So I am the universal donor.
Oh.
For blood.
Oh.
Right. I think it's O. It's O. I think it's O negative. O positive.
I don't remember.
Oh, I'd have to look that up. I don't even know my own blood type, but it's O. And so because I'm the universal donor, I can only take O.
Mm, right.
But if the baby is something else,
oh,
then if something happens like now or in labor and a little bit of the baby's blood gets mixed with my blood, then it could cause a lot of problems.
Oh, really?
And my body could like reject. And so Rogam actually makes it so that my body does not reject the baby if it like, you know.
You know, now that you mention it, this is ringing a bell.
Uh-huh.
Glad we're doing that.
Yeah.
The plates of bone in your baby's skull are fairly pliable.
Mm.
He has a soft spot, and that's going to make it easy for him to travel down the birth canal.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good foreshadowing for later when we are going to tell our official birth story.
That's right. Did you know that babies' heads are designed so that when they come out of the birth canal, they're actually the shape of a torpedo?
I didn't, and it was very shocking for me the first time around.
So your head right now is very hard, right?
Sure
but
is.
But before...
Did I ever tell you that one time somebody like punched me in middle school, then they broke their wrist?
On your face?
Yeah, joke's on them.
You do have a pretty hard head. You're very hard-headed.
Thank you.
But before your head got quite so hard,
right?
There's like pieces. I think there's like three pieces of a baby's skull that overlap each other.
So weird.
When they're coming out of the birth canal.
I saw it.
Isn't that fascinating?
I thought something was horribly wrong.
Yeah. So right now I'm actually rereading that Harvey Karp book, The Happiest Baby, and it's all like. The chapter that I'm reading right now is all about the fourth trimester and how like babies have to come out before they're ready because their brains are so massive that if we left them in for as long as they wanted to, that they wouldn't be able to come out because their heads would be too big.
Wow. They would just be stuck in there.
Yeah. Well, no, they wouldn't be stuck in there, but it would be a lot more painful to
blow your
come out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. So evolution basically made it so that babies come out while they can still fit.
Yeah. It's too bad we don't have a kangaroo pouch.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like those wraps are pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know?
Yes.
That most women, when they are like ready to push, are 10 centimeters dilated, right? So their cervix has stretched to the size of 10 centimeters. But
she's dilating.
The average, it doesn't happen quite that fast. It doesn't happen quite that fast.
Go, go, go.
Not like you get to the hospital. It's like, oh my God, she's dilating.
Oh my God, she's dilating.
No, it happens over the span of hours.
That also, I didn't know.
You didn't know that it took hours?
I learned a lot the first time around, yeah.
For some women, it takes days.
That's crazy to me.
Oh my goodness. Wait, but this is going to blow your mind. Okay, so 10 centimeters is about as big as a woman's cervix gets.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's that, like size of a strong orange?
Yeah.
Grapefruit, that's big apple, small orange.
But a typical newborn baby's head, 11 centimeters.
Uh-oh.
Or more.
I see a math problem.
Uh-huh. Fascinating, right?
10 minus 11 is negative 1.
That's right.
Where does that go?
Where does that go? That's what happens.
That's why there's sometimes tearing.
And that's also why they call it the ring of fire.
But I don't really know what it means. It's just because all of your skin is like ripping a centimeter apart at the same time.
I wouldn't say ripping, but stretching.
Stretching.
Yeah.
Oof. Well,
anywho.
We're going to relive our own birth story today. But first, we have some news because...
Right. I went to the doctor yesterday and I, you know, I'm 33 weeks and I was saying, when is this baby going to come out? Do I need to be like, do I need to call my mom now and get childcare for when we're at the hospital? Like, am I going to be going into labor imminently? And the doctor was like, no, you're like, your cervix is 2.7 centimeters. You are going to be fine. You gave birth at 36 weeks before. You're probably going to give birth around 36 weeks this time. And that news, for me, as like, considering this is the second time around, was actually a relief.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like if we had heard midway through the first pregnancy, if you were going to deliver at 36 weeks, we would have been like a little freaked out. But now the second time around, with the hindsight of like, yeah, we did it. He was a month early. It was fine.
Right.
We went to the NICU. Yeah. It was traumatizing at the time, but whatever. That's how babies get healthier.
I mean, honestly, the fact that he's not coming at 32 weeks, you know, like the fact that I will probably make it to 36 weeks is such a huge relief for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because this time with the short cervix and everything, I was terrified. I mean, I still am terrified. You know, I'm still 33 weeks. I have to be careful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely.
Oh, I mean, at this point, I would say we're in the clear.
Are we? Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't say we're in the clear. Like, baby could get a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know. This is a comfy spot, and I wish that he liked to stay there.
Cozy jacuzzi.
Yeah, but you know, I get it. When he's ready, he's ready. But and Wes was ready. He was completely healthy when he came out at 36 and a half. You know, so explain to me, or just, you know, set the stage for me, the fear when we went into labor the first time. At 36 and a half weeks.
Well, I didn't think it was even like a possibility. To me, the due date was so set in stone with like, I thought there was maybe like a week. It could happen a week later or a week earlier, but like they gave us a date for a reason. They should really just give you like a month or like a window, because giving a specific date, oh my gosh, that I mark my calendar. You know what happens when I mark my calendar?
I get it.
It's in there.
You sent all the guys a calendar invite that was like, yeah.
Ned's baby
is coming. Well,
so when it was happening a month early, I got really scared because I thought something was wrong.
Did you know that only 25% of women give birth on their due date?
Like on the exact day?
Yeah, 25% give birth on the day.
That's actually a really high number.
I know, considering we were so far off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the fact that the due date is so flexible, but also there are a fair amount of women who actually just give birth on their due date. But that takes into consideration all of the people who are induced.
Oh, that's true.
So they could be induced on their due date.
They're like, and I don't want to wait.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, well, let's just give birth on the date that we're supposed to.
Bun is cooked.
Yep.
Time to put on the oven mitts.
Yeah. Could you, I mean, that's such an interesting mindset, you know, to just say, okay, we're going to give birth on this date. And that's when it happens. You know, like women who are induced or women who have planned C-sections, you can do that. You can say, I want to give birth on this date.
It's a totally different frame of mind for us.
Yeah.
With the, like, we're just trying to make it to 36
weeks. We're just trying
to
make it. We're just trying to stay in as long as possible, baby. Yeah, seriously.
I guess we got kind of lucky that your doctor just happened to be the one on call.
I know.
When you went into labor last time.
Yeah, right now I'm meeting all the doctors
so
in the practice.
It's like you get to know a specific person, then you show up, and it's the big day, and it's another person who's on call.
Could potentially be somebody you've never met.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm meeting all the doctors right now. Yesterday, I actually had my appointment with like one of the male doctors, which I've never had a male OB-GYN. Mm-hmm. And I know that's strange because there are plenty of excellent male OB-GYNs, but it was just sort of a shift for me. I was like,
you're like, excuse you.
Well, he was great. He was awesome. He was like fantastic. Very, you know, he knew what he was talking about. He had great bedside manner. Like, really nice guy, you know.
Just like super handsome. Like,
well, actually, you know, yes, he was. Like, he was a very handsome
just a
man.
Talented concert pianist.
Yeah, you know, he had really beautiful hands.
Great skin.
Yeah. He had like a really nice haircut.
Just a soft touch, but like also like firm.
Salt and pepper hair. Salt and pepper hair, but like he didn't look old. Mm-hmm. You know, he just looked sort of like wise.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not allowed to be there because of COVID or
no. But yeah. So I'm meeting all the doctors in the practice right now, and I mean, you know, they all seem great. I feel like I would be comfortable with any of them. So, you know, I think this time around, I'm happy to not go with an induction. We're just going to ride it out.
Roll the dice. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start our main story for the day, which is the first time around, our birth story, which happened at 36 and a half weeks.
Yeah, it was actually almost 37 weeks. 36 weeks, 5 days.
Having a stack of baby books on the to-do list, a nursery full of brown boxes and paint cans waiting to be opened. Toys from our baby shower not 4 days ago in little packages, that some of which would have been opened, some of which hadn't, and a deck fully under construction. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, a Saturday.
It was a Saturday.
We were working on the deck. We were putting the decking on the deck, which are the top part, the most exciting part, really.
Uh-huh. I was wearing my favorite maternity overalls.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in those overalls for like the last month.
And I looked like a Florida boy with gym shorts, a dirty t-shirt, and a hat.
Yep.
Construction attire. We're out all day just drilling.
We had Dr. Travis helping us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
who was a friend of mine who was also
off.
A doctor.
He's actually a pediatrician.
That's right. Yeah. Good company. And we got about 30 boards in, and then it was 7 p.m., about time to stop work for the day. We couldn't see anything
anymore.
Well,
yeah,
anymore.
We ran out of light. Uh-huh.
But one thing we noticed was Ariel was usually very gung-ho about the drilling and the construction. And as the day went on, she got less into clambering around on the deck and like on your hands and knees, like drilling things in, and more like into organizing the tools in the shade of the garage.
Sitting down.
Making sure everyone had was hydrated with a cold beverage.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, the support that is also very helpful. But I noticed it was sort of odd to me that you were losing steam, but you know, you're 36 weeks pregnant.
Right.
Makes sense.
I mean, I would say even just the day before.
And then that evening she took a bath and went to bed at 8:30. That was definitely very strange. unusual.
Uh-huh.
You don't usually take baths.
And I don't usually go to bed at 8:30,
9, whatever it was. It was pretty early for
me. I mean, this was pre-kids.
Right.
You know,
oh, so. Sure. Yeah, I know. That's right. Right. Yeah, we didn't have a kid at that point. Just staying up till 11.
Oh, stop it.
You're bad.
Stop. You're bad. You're so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, in the middle of the night, Ariel wakes up.
Uh-huh.
What happened to you then?
Okay, so it's midnight, and I am having, like, period pain. And I immediately thought that I was having a miscarriage, like a late-term miscarriage, because really? I was like, oh, this is so painful. Like, why am I having period pain? You know, because every woman, you know, you know that pain. You just know where it is, what it feels like. You know, it's like in your uterus, basically. Mm. You're like, oh, this is really painful. I'm having cramping. And so I went out and I laid on the couch for a second and I was like, huh. Well, you know, people have been talking about these Braxton Hicks contractions. So maybe it's that, because
and
I'm
those
not,
are phantom contractions.
They are phantom contractions. You can call them phantom contractions.
They have real feeling, but they are not indicative of someone that's going into labor.
Right. But they do have a purpose. They are preparing your body and your reproductive system for labor. You know, so your body is like contracting. But
unproductive contractions.
Yeah, they're unproductive contractions. That's exactly what they are.
Procrastinations.
Yeah. But I didn't know what a contraction felt like at that point. So I didn't know what was happening to my body. But I Googled it, as one does. So I let Ned sleep. I'm laying on the couch and I'm just playing on my phone, looking up all the different things that could possibly be happening to my body. And I decided about 1 a.m. that I was having Braxton Hicks contractions. Mm. So how do I tell if they're Braxton Hicks contractions? Well, the internet says if you eat a bowl of cereal and the contractions go away, then it's probably Braxton Hicks. Mm. So I went and I ate a bowl of cereal and they didn't go away. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Well, maybe I should just start timing these, because then the next thing that it said about Braxton Hicks contractions was that if your contractions are regular, as in like every 5 minutes or so, and maybe they last like 30 seconds to a minute.
Was it brand cereal?
It was Cheerios.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keeps you regular.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. No, it was Cheerios. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You were sleeping in this room.
Yeah, I was sleeping right here, right about where I'm sitting.
And I was laying
on
the couch. That's
strange.
In
we
the
used to live
room.
Here. That's very strange. That's very strange.
It's really weird.
Very strange.
Well, since the contractions didn't go away when I had a bowl of cereal, then I started timing them, because Braxton Hicks contractions are all over the board. It's like you could have one in 10 minutes and then you could have one in 1 minute, and then because it's just your body contracting, right? But if you're having real contractions, then that's your body going through the labor process, and so they're going to be very regular. Mm. And we learned in our hilarious birth class.
Mm-hmm. Very, very new agey.
Very new age birth class, which we will talk
self-like.
About eventually, that that like there's the 5-1-1 rule. If you have contractions every 5 minutes that last for a minute and it goes for an hour, then you're in labor. And my contractions, hilariously, were every 5 minutes and they lasted 1 minute. And I waited until the hour mark.
Ooh.
To go and wake Ned up.
Whoa.
So it was about 3 a.m. and I come into the room, and what did I say?
He said, "Hey, hon, I think I'm going into labor." And I was like, huh? Like, okay, what do you want me to do? Like, I had no idea what to do, and I wasn't expecting it. And not knowing all of this, what you had just gone through, To me, you hear someone say, I think I'm going into labor.
I know. It's like,
it's like, all right.
Did you have a bad dream?
Should I?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you want me to rub your feet?
Probably what I would have been like is like, do you want me to Google it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe I would just like give you a little shoulder massage.
And then we go back to sleep.
Pat your belly, and then we go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I was totally not expecting this to be the night that we had a baby 24 hours later.
Right, right, exactly. And so then what happened? You sort of slowly got out of bed, and I'm like waiting patiently on the couch, just kind of like, okay, well, what are the next steps?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should pack a hospital bag?
Yeah, we didn't even have a hospital bag packed. We were very unprepared.
We were very unprepared.
I mean, other couples, they have everything laid out. They got checklists. They have like, okay, let's mobilize the troops. We're going to get this and this. And don't forget the phone charger. And then here's my Gatorade. And I got my snacks.
So what did we do?
We like Googled something and printed off a list from the internet.
Yeah. So you get out of bed.
And then we just start trying to check things off haphazardly. I remember like goldfish were a priority.
Yes. Goldfish were definitely a priority. Underwear. I think I threw in some underwear.
Yep.
I think you threw in a change of clothes, mm-hmm. and some pajamas, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And then
we just get in the car and drive.
Yeah. It was about 4 a.m. by the time we left.
And this is, I've always imagined like my drive to the hospital with a wife that's going into labor. I really have. You know, you see it in movies and it's always like they're speeding and then the police officer pulls you out and you're like, my wife's going into labor. And they're like, okay. And they put on the lights and,
boop,
and they like
boop.
Give you an escort.
Because that's like, what happens to everyone when they go into labor.
Always,
the police give you an
movies,
escort.
Yeah. And so I just thought like this would be like the one time where I'm like speeding and like going
and it was okay.
Over the speed limit. And like, that's not what I wanted to do at all. It was
you were going
Saturday night at 3 a.m. Who knows what sort of wild drivers are about, drunk drivers. I mean, I'm like going the speed limit. I'm like being very careful. And just like now I feel like I'm driving for three. I got to be just white knuckles on the wheel, just really careful. And then also every 5 minutes you were like, so you're like trying to drive and just like, okay, all right, easy, easy. A couple of times we pulled over to just like ride it out for
uh-huh,
that minute.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think at that point we were worried we were going to give birth in the car and going to have to name the baby Honda.
I think we were driving the old Mercedes at that point. But I was never worried that I was going to give birth in the car.
Yeah. I mean, like, me neither, but like also sort of, I was tilting. Just
you were spinning out of control.
Yeah. And we got to the hospital and we couldn't find the entrance.
Yeah. Well,
it's
we had
3 a.m. Turns out the front entrance is closed at 3 a.m. Makes sense.
Well, guess what? We had our hospital tour scheduled for the next week on Wednesday.
That would have been helpful. They would have at least like told us
where to go,
where to park.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
So
if we knew where to park.
We circled the hospital block like two times, just looking like, is this the entrance? Is this the entrance? And then we're like, I guess there's no like special birth area. We'll just go to the normal emergency room.
Yeah. Well, first we went to the front entrance, the very front entrance.
Silly.
Everything was closed.
So silly.
So here I'm waddling out of the car to go like check to see if the automatic doors will open, and no luck.
Wait,
and I'm looking.
You remember it as you getting out of the car to check the doors were open?
Yeah.
We didn't have me get out of the car to check if the doors were open?
No, you were behind the wheel.
Oh, I guess because we figured I would go park the car.
Yeah.
All right.
Anywho. Yeah,
okay.
Do you remember it differently?
That seems like rough. Okay. She's going to lay her like, hey, go check
knock,
and
knock,
see.
Knock.
If, pretty sure I got out to see if the door
no,
was
I
locked.
Don't think so. I think I all got right. out of the car.
Well, when we went to the emergency room, I'm like triple parked.
Right. Triple parked like behind an ambulance, basically.
Yeah. No, I mean, we park in a parking spot, but certainly we're like, oh gosh, hope we're supposed to be here. Who knows? We're just like, car's gonna get towed, it's all right.
Yeah.
And I walk in, I'm like, I think my wife's going to labor.
Okay, that is definitely not what you sounded like when you went in. Like, you were like,
hi.
hi, excuse me. I think my wife's going into labor.
Fulmer,
no.
Edward, it should be under going into freaking labor.
No, I think you were a lot more.
Hi. She's out there 36 weeks. Oh, pregnant and labor.
My wife's going into labor.
We brought the ball.
Please help. Please help. Oh, yeah, we brought an exercise ball.
Yeah. So everywhere we're going, we're carrying this giant exercise ball for like the bouncy contractions.
Well, then somebody rolls out with a wheelchair, and I was like, fuck no, I don't need a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do this. Because I actually thought that they were going to send us home.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to like take
thing,
a look at me. And
we were not sure that it was actually happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get in, they check us all in. I'm still going through, you know, like early labor. So the contractions every 5 or so minutes. And I think they got us in pretty immediately. I don't remember waiting for very long.
It was like almost an hour.
In the waiting room?
No, not in the waiting room. They got us in immediately, but like we were waiting in triage for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But no, like we did not have to wait in the waiting room.
No. They got us in pretty
they got
much
us in.
Immediately.
Yeah. So they got us in the triage room, checked us all in and everything.
But the
and
triage
then,
room is like a closet.
Well, know? Yeah, the triage
it was
room
like,
was
there
like
was a
closet.
Long time where I was like, is this where it's all going to happen?
Oh, yeah, man. I thought it was too. And so we thought that they were going to send us home. So mm-hmm. She checks, you know, down there to see what's going on. And she's like, oh, no, you're staying with us tonight.
Yeah. 4 centimeters dilated.
4 centimeters dilated already.
You're staying here tonight. You're not going home.
And then after about an hour, they finally took us upstairs. But before they took us upstairs, what happened?
He started bleeding.
Oh!
There's like blood streaming down your legs. I'm like, oh, God, everything's going horribly wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, we were just so on edge because it was our first time and it was all happening earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, I thought you were having a miscarriage.
I thought I was too.
And apparently this is just a very normal thing that happens that is indicative of uh-huh. labor progressing.
It is. So we freaked out because when they brought in a wheelchair to take me upstairs to labor and delivery, I stand up and there's blood running down my legs. And you and I just completely freak out. We're like, there's blood, there's blood, there's blood. Bring a nurse. And the nurse comes in and she's like, oh, that's probably just your mucus plug. And we were like,
my what now?
I'm sorry, what? My what?
No, my nose is up here.
Yeah. And then I remembered that somebody had talked about that at some point. I was like, okay, well, they are not freaking out. So I'm not going to freak out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I clean up and we get in the chair and we go upstairs.
Yeah. And then we go into the labor and delivery suite, which is more set up for this. And they actually have like, it's very cool. Once it actually happened was there's like stuff in the ceiling that comes down. There's like, it
oh,
turns
man.
Into a surgery room.
When
just
it was
like
time,
that, like
it was
Transformer
it
style.
Was like, it was time. The doctors are putting on there, but we're skipping ahead.
Yeah,
again.
We're skipping ahead. So you went into the room and you're kind of resting and doing your thing. They get the nitrous set up, which is your preferred pain management technique. And then I'm kind of just awake and like looking around, like taking everything in. And I see the two nurses just setting up a whole bunch of what it looked like to me, little tiny knives. It's like 100 little tiny knives. And I was like, oh, dear God, something's horribly wrong. At every point in time, that was my first thought. And that was probably not that helpful and probably not correct. And hopefully the second time around, we won't have that. But yeah, I was like, oh no, they're going to do surgery and they're prepping for surgery. And I think in some senses they were, because that's part of being prepared. But it wasn't just knives, it was little like clamps and, you know, scissors and surgery things and, you know, needles to stitch up and gauze to help
bleeding,
stop bleeding,
and whatever else.
And so they do all this and then they cover it with a big cloth. Or, you know, a medical cloth.
Right.
Not a burlap sack type of cloth, like a medical grade cloth.
Yes.
And every 5 minutes, we hear the whir of the nitrous oxide machine, like, as Ariel starts coming on. And I go over and I hold your hand.
Uh-huh.
And you grip my hand.
Yeah.
And the contractions pass. And then we go back to just resting.
Yeah. We had a doula.
Right.
Who was great. She was awesome. She probably came at about 6 a.m., 7 a.m.?
Mm-hmm. The funny thing was probably all of the things that she brought to help you.
Yeah.
Like lavender oils and honey sticks.
Yeah.
And just like nice smelling
cloths. I didn't want them. I was like, no, like, no, get it away.
Get it away. I was like, well, I'll take a honey stick.
I'll take a honey stick.
You know, I mean,
if
you're offering, I'll do some honey.
Is that lavender essential oil?
Yes, lavender soaked in the
washcloth. Oh, please. Oh, yes.
Dab my sweat. Don't mind if I do. I mean, yeah, probably it was helpful for you, but it was also helpful for me.
I think honestly it was helpful for me to know that you were taken care of,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, because I think at one point she went down and got you a Gatorade or something.
Yes.
Like, I necessary. Did not want anything. I wanted like water and like, I just had, I remember towards, you know, like 8, 9, 10 a.m., the contractions were getting shorter, like we're getting closer together. And they were getting worse. And so I would just hold the nitrous oxide mask and like sleep a little bit. And then I would start to get a contraction. So I would put it on my face mm-hmm. and try to like get the nitrous oxide in my body before mm-hmm. the contraction would get really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that a contraction works is it starts slow. And it builds and builds and builds and builds and builds and builds and builds until you hit a peak where it's really, really bad. And that lasts about 5 seconds. And then it peters off. Well, yeah. And I'm actually not going to be able to have nitrous oxide at this
really?
Hospital. Yeah. So that was one thing that I know. Yeah. Nitrous oxide. So it basically, it curbs the peak. But you have to take it at the right time. So if you like, you have to get it in your body and into your bloodstream to like, and it lasts like, you know, 5 seconds. And so if you start taking it before the contraction gets really bad, it makes the peak just slightly better.
You were preferring to not have an epidural if possible.
If possible,
you wanted to
yeah.
be able to move.
I was
walk.
Open to the idea. Let's put that out there. Since, you know, this was my first, you know, pony show. So I was like, okay, if this is as bad as it gets, then I can handle it. But if it gets any worse, and of course it gets worse, please. It's labor. There's a reason they call it labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course it gets worse. But so I was like,
not I snack break.
Yeah.
They don't call it snack break.
No, they don't. Yeah, they don't call it like.
She's going into snack break. Quick, get the goldfish.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. shopify.com/work.
Well, I mean, So we went in with a birth plan because we had kind of prepared a birth plan in the sense that, like, okay, this is kind of how I want it to go. Mm-hmm. I want to do the nitrous oxide. I want to try to do it without an epidural because I would like to walk around. I'd like to be able to, like, you know, move and sort of move my body mm-hmm. in a way that makes it more comfortable.
You want to have the baby up on your chest, skin to skin.
Yeah, I guess I
as soon as he's born.
You know, I had this crazy dream that I wanted to be able to, you know, like, feel everything that was going on. Guess what, guys? It's not that great. It's not that great. But yeah, and so my water didn't break. My water never broke. That was something that was really interesting and frustrating at the time.
As it went on, we just kept going. You tried different positions. You were bouncing on the ball.
Yeah.
We're playing Ed Sheeran. At one point, you're like leaning on my shoulders. We're sort of slow dancing. That was cute. At one point, you screamed at me because I touched you. And that was you know, par for the course.
That's more what you expected.
Don't touch me.
That's more what you expected labor would be like.
Yeah.
It definitely... So... It was kind of a frustrating experience because we were just waiting. I was dilated. I was like 9 centimeters dilated, but my water hadn't broke yet. And so we couldn't push until my water broke. Mm. And I was doing everything possible to make my water break. I was like twisting and dancing and bouncing and just like doing all these things. And I was like, why won't it break? Let's get this show on the road. I think we were 8 hours in at this point.
Yeah.
And I remember every hour or so, the nurses would call our doctor and say, you know, what now? What now? And she was like, wait for it to break, wait for it to break, wait for it to break. And that probably happened 3 or 4 hours in a row. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I was just like...
Because it's a Sunday. She's at
home. She's at home.
On call.
Yes. And so... So then I finally, I think after about 4 hours of the same thing, the same contractions, you know, like painful contractions, I'm 9 centimeters dilated. I am ready to push this baby out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, tell her I want to break it. Tell her I want to break the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time she said no. and I was like, fuck you. No, I want to break it. And then the second time she said, okay, fine. I'm coming in.
Yep.
And
so the thing that they do is it's a little tiny, like,
crochet needle.
Yeah, it's like a crochet needle, very, very tiny.
Well, with a little, the needle tiny, itself is about this.
The needle is long, but then the hook on the end to poke the water is like backwards and just very tiny.
Teeny tiny.
And she kind of comes in. She's like, all What's right, up? Let's have this baby.
Yeah, she was so funny. I think she was like, I wasn't expecting to see you here,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was 4 weeks early. Yes, she was funny. And I was like, ha ha, break the bag.
So she slips it in and then pop, sploosh.
And yeah, it was like a wave.
There was a lot of water in there. Whoa.
Yeah, there was a lot of water in there. I seriously was the most satisfying. It was like peeing yourself when you had to pee so, so bad.
Oh, wow.
You know that like warm, okay, tell me you know the warm feeling when you pee yourself.
Oh, sure. I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Little pee-pee in your pants. You're just like, now it's warm.
Now it's warm. I have a wet warmness mm-hmm. around me. I couldn't tell you the last time that I like fully peed myself, but I do know the feeling and I'm not sure why, but it's quite satisfying
mm-hmm.
when you like have to pee so bad and then you just pee yourself. And it's warm and you feel relief and that is what I felt until the next contraction.
Yeah, because then the pain had intensified that much more. I mean, it was like if it was at a 6, it went from a 6 to a 15.
Yes.
Just all of a sudden.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, the pain intensified and then things kicked into overdrive. You were very, very close that time. And that's
But they told me not to push.
Right. They kept having to hold off. Not time to push yet.
Yeah.
On Time to Push Yet, the pain was excruciating.
Yeah.
The nitrous was doing less and less.
The nitrous wasn't doing anything, and I was like, I want an epidural now.
Yeah, that's when you were like, I want an epidural. And the nurses were so sweet. They're like, bitch,
yeah.
You are like 95% of the way through this. No, they were like,
they were very
sweet.
You
can do this.
Yeah.
It's only a little bit longer.
I think one of them said, you have probably 30 minutes until mm-hmm. this baby is out. Like, you can do this. Like, we will give you the epidural if you want it, but you can do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're right.
You're right.
I can't do this. I can do this.
It's been 12 hours. I can do another 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we just powered through. And when they told me to push, I swear I only had to push for like 2 minutes. I know. It like he shot out like a torpedo. And I remember
it was
only
5 or 6 times pushing, so yeah. That would have been like a half an hour.
After Wes was born, the nurses were sort of joking around with them, and she was like, I knew when you came in here that you were going to be a very efficient pusher. And I was like, Thank you. Like that is the biggest compliment that I could have gotten from my labor and delivery nurse.
Yeah.
That I'm an efficient pusher.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got the pushing muscles.
But so what was that like for you?
Well, for me, that I get to be like a part of this like pushing experience because there's a lot going on. It's not just you pushing. We're holding your legs like way up and like
right.
cradling your head and
right. you,
cradling
you
your
had
back.
One leg and our doula Sarah had the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's this whole thing where it's kind of like this group effort to like help support you to like help you be the most efficient pusher possible. But that was a part that I felt very connected because it was like, you know, Ned's here too.
Like I'm doing something.
I was like very close to you,
uh-huh.
You know, just able to see. I mean, I will never forget the look of exertion on your face. I've never seen anyone exert so much energy and force in my life. I mean, you were so strong and so powerful and just like, every fiber of your being was willing the baby out into the world.
Uh-huh.
Very cool to see. In the times when you weren't pushing, though, they say, hey, Dad, do you want to come look at the baby's head? I was like, oh, how nice. Very cool.
And I look at the baby's head
and I'm like, oh, dear God. Oh, no.
He's broken.
Yeah, because it's, first of all, you know, vagina's huge, which is shocking to see. The head, you see the bones overlap because they're like mid. It's like this thing that we're talking about with the soft palate happening. I'm like, why is his brain broken? No, this is going horribly wrong.
It looks like a little alien. Yeah. You can only see the top of his head.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, no. Oh, she's going to give birth to like a baby that's broken. I'm like, was like really scared, and the whole thing, I was just on edge because it was first time, yes, but also a month early,
right?
There's no time to ask like, hey, those like that little, is that, does that look like a ridge, does that look like a you know, Red Rocks of Sedona over there? Yeah, the blood with the bones, it's like not flat, right? Am I crazy? Is it just me?
Is
everyone else seeing this? Like, are there some plate tectonics going on over there? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of blood. but, you know, I just assume everything's fine and we keep going. And then 5 or 6 contractions later, the baby just comes out all at once, like
yeah. Once the head comes out, then the body just goes.
Yeah, it's like what you're saying, the ring of fire. It's like really the biggest limiting factor is
The head.
Big old baby brain.
Yeah. So you can imagine babies that don't come out head first. That's why it's like, it can be more dangerous if you have a breech baby or something like that. I mean, they're, doctors are good at what they do, but, you know, there's, once baby's head down, it's like, all right, we're good to go.
Yeah.
Well, should we end here and continue our birth story in another episode?
A two-part episode.
Yeah, maybe we should do a two-parter. Did Wes come out with a full head? find out next time.
It's a full beard, a clean head of hair.
3 feet tall.
I mean, the part two is the NICU part, and we'll talk about that another time. But the,
definitely.
The ending of this story is baby came out, lets out a big cry.
Yeah.
Just
a huge poop.
Huge poop.
Which actually wasn't, so when a newborn comes out, it's not poop yet. It's
meconium,
which is the most disgusting sticky tar poo that you could ever have seen, like ever.
Poop from amniotic fluids, just.
Yep. Yeah, and so they laid him on my chest, and he pooped all over me. Mm-hmm. So not only am I covered in blood and amniotic fluid, but now I'm also covered in Wes's amniotic fluid poo.
Beautiful.
Labor is the
majesty of birth.
Yeah, it's just so. And you cut the cord.
That's right, I did. Yeah.
Ned thought it was going to be like a string. And
yeah, I was like, and snip, and I was like, oh, and snip. Oh, I see. And saw, snip.
I did it. I did a thing. Look at me.
Yeah, it's thick. But yeah, Wes cuddled on Ariel's chest. And then I got to like cuddle with him on my chest.
Yep. All the first photos that we have of you and Wes are you are half naked.
Yeah. There's a thing called skin to skin where you... And you kind of like have the baby like connect with your skin. So I rip off my shirt. Yeah, I'm like, let's do this.
The second somebody was like, does daddy want to hold the baby? Oh, and of course, you don't have a name. Your name is daddy.
Yeah, then my name's dad everywhere. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have a little bracelet that says my name.
But the second that somebody was like, does daddy want to hold the baby? Ned was like, oh, hell yeah, I want to hold the baby. Takes off his shirt. And then lays on the couch with baby.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Next time we will talk about the NICU. We'll talk about postpartum.
Yeah. If we're even here.
If we're even here, which hopefully we will be.
Yeah.
I'm feeling great. I feel really good.
Make it all the way to 36 weeks.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.